the Lord's Day how the ceremonial law was abolished. And we saw very clearly the substance of the law, the essence of the law, the moral law still continues. If He is the Lord of the Sabbath, and if the Lord of the Sabbath lives, the Sabbath will continue. The Lord of the Sabbath rose on the third day, and the Sabbath will continue. If He is not the Lord of the Sabbath, then there will be no more Sabbath. Let us go back to, I'm going to give part two on the Sabbath day. My topic today is Sabbath day points to the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath day points to the Lord of the Sabbath. And we will continue next week too, by His grace, because this is a very in-depth subject that's got to be loved to expose, because we had never been taught on the Lord's Day. And Exodus chapter 20, we saw verse 8, the fourth commandment. The remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. And we saw the Ten Commandments still exist. The Fourth Commandment still exists. Saw that very clearly last week. Those who were not here, I would really encourage you to get the tape. When Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. On these two, the whole law exists. It's hanged together on these two. He did not say, the fourth commandment is not there. He did not say that. The entire law, the Ten Commandments, are there. We saw in the New Testament, very clearly, the moral law still continues. But we are living in days today where the church does not pay any value to the Old Testament. Old Testament has been regarded very different to the New Testament. And we need to remember that the Old Testament is inspired Word of God, just like the New Testament is the inspired Word of God. And the author of the Old Testament is God, just like the author of the New Testament is God. And God never changes. And the Old Testament is the gospel in the bud, and in the New Testament is the gospel in its full flower. The Old Testament saints saw things as those they saw things through a very glass, in a dark glass. But they looked to the same Christ, to the same faith. That's how they got saved. It's not another faith, but it's the same faith. There's only one faith. And one spirit. Old Testament is not just a story, but it has great value for us today. So the word Sabbath, the Hebrew word for Sabbath is Shabbat, S-H-A-B-A-T or B-B-A-T. It is used about 71 times in the Old Testament. But in the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment is treated more extensively than any other commandment. The fourth commandment is linked to all the other commandments. We'll be going through this later on another day. As all the other commandments are inwardly, but the fourth commandment is outward, you will know who is breaking the fourth commandment. You can see it. But we see the moral law is still continues, but sad to say, majority of the churches today, they have violated this law, and they have violated the fourth commandment. But I want to go to the beginning. For us to get a good grasp of Sabbath, we need to go to Genesis. And if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, this is the key to unlock the Sabbath. The key to unlock Sabbath is Genesis chapter 2. And I have been meditating on this scripture for this whole week, and I praise the Lord for His wisdom. Genesis chapter 2, starting from verse 2 and 3. Let's read from verse 1. The heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished, and on the seventh day God ended His work which He had done, and rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Verse 3, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. We need to expose this, because there's a lot of meaning on this, because I did a world study on this, especially on verse 3. And here we see, the first thing we see is verse 2, that God rested on the seventh day from all His work. It does not mean that God created the earth within 6 days and He got very tired after creating, that He needed a break and He had to go and take a rest like a nap. That is us. If we do work, man, we need rest, because our body cannot take it, because we are physical beings, but God is not a physical being. He is spirit. And so if you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, just to give you a scripture on this. Isaiah 40:28, it says here, have you not known, have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary, meaning He doesn't get tired. His understanding is unsearchable. So of course, here we need to understand in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, when it says that God rested, it doesn't mean He got tired and He was resting physically. This was a rest of the labors of the 6 days. Also, it does not say on the seventh day God did not do any work. It does not say that in Genesis chapter 2 verse 2. It does not say God did not do any work. Or it does not say that God stopped His work on the seventh day. Because if He stopped His work on the seventh day, the entire universe would crash. Because He governs the universe. God's activities on the seventh day was different than the 6 days of work. There was a difference between the 6 days and the seventh day. It was a difference. And we see on verse 3 that God blessed the seventh day and He sanctified. It's very interesting. I was looking at this word, how God blessed the seventh day, and I was wondering why. So I went back to Genesis to see where did He bless before. And I went to see Genesis 1:22. He blessed. If you turn with me to Genesis 1:22, says, this is where, well, you can see verse 21. Actually, starting from verse 20, get the picture. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly about the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created sea creatures and every living thing that moves, in which the waters abound according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw it was good, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. So here we see the first blessing. The blessing is when God created all kinds of animals, fish, creatures, birds, and he blessed them. Then we see again God bless, if you see Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 to 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish and the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then we will see here how God blessed man and woman when he created them. Then of course, we see, we need to understand, we see in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, God blessed the day that he rested. That's the word rest means Sabbath. He blessed the Sabbath day. Now, the word blessing is the presence, is to be in the presence of the Lord. It's to be in the grace of God. That's the word blessing means. We will see very clearly, I want to show you a scripture very clearly, the meaning of blessing here. And if you turn with me to Numbers chapter 6. Chapter 6, starting with verse 23. And you will see a good picture of blessing, what it means here. Verse 23 says, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So the blessing is to be in the presence of God, that his face would shine upon us, that his grace would be upon us. That is the blessing. Now in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 says, the blessing is transmitted from the greater to the lesser. And here, of course, we see God told Aaron and his sons, this is the way you should bless the children of Israel. Of course, Aaron was the greater and the lesser was the children of Israel. So the blessing is transmitted always from the greater to the lesser. There's always, it's the father who will bless the children, right? And also we saw in Genesis 1:22 and 1:28 how God blessed the creatures, the animals, the birds, the fish. God blessed him. And then verse 28 we saw how God blessed man. So it's always the blessing comes from the greater to the lesser. Now, of course, God bless the Sabbath day. Now, of course, he has to bless the Sabbath day. Got to be from the greater to the lesser. He did not bless the angels, nor the animals, but he blessed another lesser creature, and that is man. That's why in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man. The blessing goes to the man, and not man for the Sabbath. So here we see Sabbath was made for man. It's going to be a blessing. And it's a future event. We will see that. So when God blessed the Sabbath day, that means the greater blessed for the lesser, and the Sabbath was made for man. So Jesus unlocked that key, and so clearly we can see the Sabbath was made for man, and the blessing is upon man. For us to understand the reason for the blessing, we need to study the balance part of the scripture in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. That's why I want to really get rooted in Genesis 2, verse 2 and 3, because that's the key to unlock this whole thing. And not only God blessed the seventh day, but also He did something else. He sanctified the seventh day. The Hebrew word for sanctified is Kodesh, Q-O-D-E-S-H. Okay. Oops. Q-O-D-E-S-H. That's the word for sanctified. It really means holy. Alright. And it means that is something that is sacred. The word holy means something that is cut and be separated. Something that is above than something else. I'm going to explain this clearly as we go. It means something that is separated than the others. But I want to give you a good scripture to show this. It is something that is not common. Something that is above common. God is called holy. Right? And that's why He is separated from above. He is above us. Alright? So here, if you go to Leviticus chapter 10, verse 10, we see this meaning very clearly. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 10. Leviticus 10:10 says here that you may distinguish between holy and what? Unholy and unholy, between clean, unclean and clean. So you can really distinguish what is holy and what is common. So the word holy means it's something unique, something distinguished, something distinctly different, something above than the common thing. So, when we see God, the 6 days is pretty common, but the seventh day is unique. It is totally distinct. It is above the 6 days. It is totally holy. So there's a distinction there. See that? It's very clear. If you can remember in the tabernacle, there was a Holy of Holies. And that was called the most holy place, where God met the high priest only once a year. But only the high priest, not the common people, because it was called the Holy of Holies. It was separated from the common people. The same way, 6 days and the seventh day, there's a separation. You get your common work you can do on the 6 days, but the seventh day is different, it's unique. It's a Sabbath day. It was distinctly different than all the other days because it was set apart holy. So He separated the seventh day from the rest of the days and He set it apart. So here in Genesis, the seventh day was set apart for the future, because we are still in Genesis, aren't we? So it was set apart for the future. God sanctified it and set it apart for the future. Of course, you will see the shadows of Sabbath in the book of Genesis. I don't want to get into that, but I want to show you that it was set it apart for a future. Even if you can remember how God told Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 5, how God told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you, and before thou came forth of the womb, I sanctified you. And I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. That means even before Jeremiah was born, God set apart Jeremiah. He sanctified Jeremiah before he was born. That was a future event. In the same way, the seventh day, the Sabbath day, was a future when you look from Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Something future, pointing to something. But we know that it was made for man. So in an ultimate way, the seventh day was reserved for the Lord of the Sabbath. Seventh day was reserved for the cross. For redemption of mankind. That's the blessing. God blessed the seventh day. The blessing is what? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's the blessing. The redemption. The cross. It was reserved for the Messiah. Because He sanctified it. It's holy. Nobody is holy. Only the Messiah. The righteous one. The holy one. The root of David. He is the holy one. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. You can see picture very clearly. Looking forward to the Lord of the Sabbath. It's amazing, isn't it? It's wonderful, isn't it? So in Luke chapter 6 verse 5, Jesus said, "The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." Luke chapter 6 verse 5. He said, "The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." You understand so far? Because this is very important for you to understand the root. Alright? Alright? Very important. But when it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, that God rested, it means that God took delight on that future day that was reserved for the Lord Jesus Christ, who will come to redeem His people. God looked at the cross, and He took pleasure, and He was joyful to look at the cross. He looked beyond, way ahead to the future, to the cross. When He says that He rested, He took pleasure on the cross. He was joyful. He was delightful. If you see in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10 and 11, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. It pleased Him. He has put into grief when you make His soul an offering for sin. Yes, He shall see His seed, He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in the land. And it was a pleasure for the Lord to see that. And He shall see the labor of His soul and be satisfied. Of course, you see, now when God rested, it means He looked to the cross, and He was so pleased, and He was so joyful, delighted, how the Messiah was going to hang up on the cross for your sins. And so we can see, now we can say, wow, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it. Huh? So the Sabbath day is a day that we can rejoice. It's a day we can be delighted and have pleasure, not in the world, but in the Lord, for what He had done for you. This day is different than any other day. It's a day to rejoice in the Lord. It's the day to look back to the cross and see what the Lord Jesus Christ did. But in the Old Testament, it's a day that is looking forward to the cross. And with the Sabbath came all the other ceremonial things that you had to obey. So, of course, we also know that man was made in the image of God. That means man is capable of worshipping the Holy God in His spirit and truth. But sin, when sin entered, that image was broken And man, he flee from God, and unless God regenerates man, he cannot worship God. So man is lost from God, and he is at the hand of the enemy, under the bondage of the enemy, and man needs a deliverer. He needs to be delivered from the enemy. He needs to be delivered from the wrath of God, from sin. And remember how the Lord delivered the Israelites from the enemy when they were helpless. And when the Lord delivered them from their bondage, from their slavery, from the enemy, how the Lord opened the Red Sea and delivered them. The first thing they were delivered, and they saw the enemy all dead, God killed them. What did they do? They sang a song to the Lord, right? And in Exodus chapter 15, you see this song. And verse 13, Exodus chapter 15, verse 13, 13, you in your mercy have led forth the people you have what? Redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. So God redeemed, God purchased them from the enemy. So they were so excited, they were singing a song to the Lord. So that's why we are here. When we come on the Lord's Day, we sing songs and worship songs. Why? Is it because you have a nice voice, you want to show? No. It's because what the Lord did for you, how He redeemed you, and you are praising Him for what He has done. But how soon they forgot the Lord who delivered them, huh? When they entered the wilderness, the land of temptation, the land of hardships, trials. They forgot. They tried to murmur against the Lord. But God had to remind Moses and Aaron. God had to remind them, you need to remind the children of Israel about their deliverance, about their redemption. You see this in Exodus chapter 16, verse 1. And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. They soon forgot their song. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, then we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." So they murmured against the Lord. Verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, "At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt." Here we see again, we are coming to the Sabbath day. It's a remembrance of the redemption of Israelites. In the same way, the Lord's Day is a remembrance of our redemption through Jesus Christ. And here, God has to remind Moses and Aaron, because, you know, we too are working 6 days. And we forget, we cannot worship the Lord fully, totally concentrate. That's why you come to church. So the pastor, the minister, will remind you the Sabbath day, will point you to the cross. So the Sabbath day is reserved for us to look back to the cross and to remind people of that great deliverance. we see the Sabbath day is a sign, a redemption for the elect. The Israelites were redeemed by God, you know, from the enemy, and God wanted them to understand the deliverance so they will honor and worship God as day would be set apart. And there was a sign. That sign is only between, it was a sign of the covenant that was made only between the Israelites and the Lord God. The greatest redemption was when the Lord Jesus came and delivered us. The day was changed to the first day of the week, and it is called the Lord's Day. So the ultimate purpose of the Sabbath day has to do with the redemption, because man is blessed on that day. And if you can go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15, Deuteronomy 5:15, the book of Deuteronomy, and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. This is how God presents the Sabbath day here. Of course, it starts with verse 14. But if you keep on going on verse 15, it says, and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. So we need to remember where we were before. We were slaves under Satan. And the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. It's a commandment. The remembrance of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you. He's the one who delivered you. You couldn't on your own. Absolutely not. And of course we saw in Exodus chapter... turn with me to Exodus chapter 16, please, verse 23. It's before the Ten Commandments was given, the Lord's Day is used here. I mean, the Sabbath day is used here, before the Ten Commandments, verse 3. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said, tomorrow is a Sabbath rest. See that? A holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourself all the remains to be kept until morning. And so they laid up till morning, as Moses commanded, and they did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, this is about the manna, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. And here we see actually there are three miracles that happen here. The first, the manna fell daily, and it's good for only for that day, right? You cannot keep it for the other day. Secondly, the sixth day it fell double. And the other miracle is, you can keep it for the following day. And it shows that you got to do all your work before the seventh day. That means seventh day, you're totally rejoicing in the Lord. See, the substance is still there. The substance is, we should not do our worldly work on the Sabbath day. The whole... Sabbath day is only not 2 hours, Sabbath day. It's the whole day is called the Sabbath. I'm going to come to that later. And still is so, I mean, still what happened was, there were some people who went on the Sabbath day. They didn't listen to God, right? Even they still didn't listen, they refused, and some people on the seventh day, they went out looking for manna. They violated the commandment of God. And of course, we saw in history, in the camp of Israel, how they violated the commandment of God. It's the same thing today. People are violating the substance, the commandment of the Lord, the moral law. Of course, when we need to understand, in creation, we saw the Sabbath in creation in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. When God created man holy. Adam was made holy. Man was distinct from all the other creatures. He was made holy. He was made in the image of God. But when man sinned, he became utterly unholy. Utterly depraved. But we see a new creation. After the redemption, there's a new man who is born. A new creation. If you are in Christ, you are new. All old things have passed away. The new has begun. There's a new creation with the redemption. And that new creation is even much greater than the old creation. When God created man holy, when God created Adam holy, there was no opposition. God just took the dust and created Adam holy. But now, in the work of new creation, in the work of redemption, there is opposition. There's Satan. There's sin. And there is much opposition. There's darkness. The man is totally depraved. Man is totally unholy. So there is opposition. So that new creation, that redemption, is even greater than the old. And Haggai, in chapter 2, verse 9 says, it's probably after Zephaniah, before Zechariah. It's about three books before Malachi, I think. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. And chapter 2, verse 9 says, "The glory of the latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts." Wow! The glory of the latter temple will be even greater than the former. How great was the former one, huh? But how great is the latter one? There was even much opposition to redeem man. It was not easy. Because I'll tell you, it costs more to redeem us than to create us. In the creation, the Lord just spoke the word. But in redemption, the Lord Jesus had to shed His blood. In creation, it was done with the fingers of the Lord. But in redemption, He had to work with His arm. In creation, we had life in Adam. But in redemption, we had life in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a day God has set apart, huh? What a day He has set apart. That great redemption through Jesus Christ. Well, now when we read the fourth commandment in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Let's go back. Once we get the picture here. It's 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day. When God says remember, that means that you already knew something about it. Where did you know? Where did the children of Israel know? Exodus chapter 16, we saw that. And also Genesis chapter 2. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. When God made a covenant with the nation of Israel, it was made only with the Israelites and not with all the other nations. When God delivered, He didn't deliver all the nations, but He delivered only the Israelites from the hand of Pharaoh. So Sabbath was a sign of that covenant that God made. I want to show you that in Scripture because that is also important. If you turn with me to Exodus chapter 31, verse 13. Exodus 31, 13 to 17. Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between you and you throughout your generation, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, if it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it surely be put to death, for whoever who does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among the people. Verse 15, work shall be done for 6 days, but in the seventh is a Sabbath of the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever who does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Here we see some very important points. It is a sign between the Lord and the people. And it is a sign not only for one generation, verse 13 says, throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that sanctifies you. Then it says in verse 14, Sabbath is holy unto what? Unto you. See that? What does that remind you? Sabbath is made for who? For man. It is holy unto you. It's a blessing. It's to you. But everyone who defiles, what's the punishment? Shall be surely put to death. Hey, this is a commandment not like any other commandment. This is a commandment that death is involved if you break it. It's not. This is something we need to take it very seriously. And it says here, verse 16, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generation, for it's a perpetual covenant, is a sign between me and your children of Israel, for when? Forever. So God was very serious when He talks on the Sabbath day. It's a holy day. You don't mess around on a holy day. The Sabbath day is given to the church to observe and keep it. To worship the Lord is a day that is separated from any other day. It's a holy day, so we don't mess around. It's a unique day. It is separated unto the Lord. It's a day of worship. It was a day of rest from labor. And to be employed in the service of the Lord. But it is sad to see that so many people have gone astray with false teachings of the Sabbath day. We saw that last week. The dispensationalist church have taken the Sabbath day only as ceremonial, and they say it has been abolished. And we saw last week it is not abolished. The substance, the moral law still continues. We saw this very clearly last week. And as a result, people are breaking the fourth commandment today. I'll tell you, those pastors are going to be accountable to God. because they have led the sheep astray. They are not teaching the whole counsel of God. A day to keep holy. A day, it doesn't mean 2 hours you come here to keep holy. It doesn't mean 2 hours. It doesn't mean just few hours. But it is a day, a whole day is a Sabbath day. Then we need to keep it holy. People come only for 2 hours to the church. Then they are gone home, back to their TV. They go shopping. They take care of all their other things. This is an abomination to the Lord. If God gave you 6 days, can't you give Him one? He gave you 6 days. But the seventh day is distinguishedly holy, separated than any other day. And I'm going to go on this next week, again continue. But let me give you one more scripture for us to see this. Go back to Isaiah chapter 58. Clearly speaks of the church today. Isaiah chapter 58 verse 13. Read it and read it clearly. It says here, if you turn away, Isaiah 58 13, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and you shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and you shall cause you to ride the high hills on the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. So many people who are delighting, who are having pleasure on the Sabbath day. It's a day that is honorable to God. Instead of honoring Him, we are doing our fleshly, worldly things. This passage shows the true observance of the Sabbath. It means to abstain from the world. 6 days you are given. It means to abstain from the world and to concentrate and to worship the Lord, because it is the holy day. It is the day that we remember what our Lord Jesus did on the cross. It is renouncing our will and our flesh and giving our soul and our heart to the Lord. It's being dead to the world and meditating on heavenly things. The true Sabbath continues as the Lord of the Sabbath still lives. Amen? Lord of the Sabbath still lives. He died. The ceremonial part of it was crucified, was nailed. But on the third day, He rose from the dead. And the day has been changed to the Lord's day, and the Lord of the Sabbath still lives, so does the substance of the Sabbath. The elements of the Sabbath still lives. And how much more we need to worship Him? Huh? If the redemption, if the second creation was even more, if there was more opposition for that, huh? He had to spill His blood to redeem us, how much more we need to worship Him today? But many are many are living for themselves, for this day. Sunday is the only day I can sleep and rest. Sunday is a day that I can go to the mall. Sunday is a day I can do all my other things, I have to take care of my children, to Monday they have school. I got to do those things. It's Sunday. So you give just a few hours to the church, then go back again to your own things, breaking the Sabbath. And when you come to church on the Sabbath day, how many people are sinning against the Lord by gossip, backbiting, telling about this one and that one? And Sunday is a day you say, well, I got to work because, you know, overtime pay. It's big money. I'll tell you, I praise the Lord. You know, when Tony was one time he lost his job for, I can remember, and his boss said, you got to work on Sunday. He said, no way, I'm not going to work on Sunday. And God still provided him right days to work, and he doesn't work on Sunday. Hey, he is the provider. He's the one who governs you. And we should not, you know, how many people are totally in the flesh, you know, in amusements on the Sabbath day, and all kinds of taking all kinds of amusements and entertainment, you know, on the Sabbath day, instead of prayer and meditation. And we need to read the Word on the Sabbath. If you have nothing to do, read the Word. Did you have time to read the Word during the 6 days? No, I was so busy. Well, got a Sabbath day. Read the Word. No excuse. You will find all kinds of excuse to escape the Sabbath day, to break that day. Just like the children of Israel. The Lord said, don't go out on the seventh day, but still some went. We need to be delighted to go to church on the Lord's day. Alright, so Isaiah chapter 58, I believe that's where we stop. Isaiah 58 verse 13. How we need to observe the Sabbath day for the Lord, not delighting in amusements and delighting on Sabbath day, on Sunday, on basketball games or football games, or, you know, going to different amusement parks, and that's not for the Sabbath day. It's for not going shopping or malling or doing other things. So we need to do all those things the 6 days where the Lord has given us, and we need to separate this day, get ready for the Sabbath day. So we need to make our hearts prepared for the Sabbath day. It's a day that we are looking forward to glorify God. And I like what Matthew Henry said on Sabbath day. You don't find too many commentators today talking on the Sabbath day. A lot of commentaries, if you see today, they say it's been abolished. But Matthew Henry talks, one of the old commentators, he speaks, the Sabbath is a sign between God and His professing people. It's a pointing, it is a sign of His favor to them. It's a blessing. That's what we saw in Genesis chapter 2. And their observing it is a sign of their obedience to Him. We must turn from traveling on that day, meaning traveling means going, you know, long ways and so forth like that, always on the road saying, wow, what a day for me to enjoy going such sightseeing. From doing our pleasure on that holy day without the control and restraint of conscience. So we need to control ourselves. It has to do with our conscience. You know, there are no ways. Nobody get, you know, God doesn't kill anybody if you break the Sabbath. It all has to do with our conscience, okay? Or from indulging in the pleasures of sin. On Sabbath days, we must not follow our callings. Now, our flesh has a lot of things to do on that day. Or our pleasures. In all we say and do, we must put a difference between this day and the other days. There is a difference. Even in the Old Testament, the Sabbath was called the Lord's Day and is fitly called to so still. And for a further reason, it is the Lord Christ's Day, Revelation 1:10. If we thus remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, we shall have the comfort and profit of it and have reason to say it is good to draw near to God. It's a day that we can draw near to God. And I want to close with one scripture. we almost came to the end, and Isaiah chapter 56, verse 2. Says here, blessed is a man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Wow! This is a blessing. The blessing is, of course, the Lord hallowed the Sabbath day. He made it holy. It was reserved for the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, for our redemption. The blessing is there. The blessing is He delivered us from the wrath, from sin, from Satan, and we can now glorify and worship the Lord. And we should not defile this day where God has given us as a remembrance. You know, Sabbath day is, a lot of people say, well, it's the Lord's day. Alright? The Lord's day comes for so many people only once a year. Right? Easter. That's the only day some people go and have some kind of music, you know, get your flesh grows up a little bit and have some fun and take some blankets. Alright, this is more like a picnic to me. And after one hour you go back, where shall we go to eat, you know? And go to McDonald's or here, there. They're gone home, back to their worldly stuff. That's not the Sabbath day. That's just not one day. The Lord's day is every day. I'll tell you, the pagan religions, they celebrate only once a year their founder. Like Buddhism, the Buddha's birth and his nirvana is celebrated only once a year. All the pagan religions, there's a once a year festival. But the Lord's day, He's alive. He's still the Lord of the Sabbath. And that's why He has separated a day for us. And for us, it's a resurrection day. Every Sunday is a resurrection day. It's a day to be joyous. It's a day to be delighted in Him. It's a day that we can worship and honor Him. In reading the Word, in prayer, encouraging, meditating, works of mercy. And there are so many ways we can serve the Lord. Even making booklets, taking the gospel out through the computer. All those things are involved on the employment for the Lord on the Sabbath day. Alright, so we'll continue this one, the Lord's Day, next week by the grace of God. And let's stand and let's pray and go before the Lord.